Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friend, I have to stand before Jesus Christ someday, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you, and it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved or born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you die unsaved, never having been born again through faith in the blood of Christ, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God in whose hand your breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Let us ask the blessing of God upon the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his condescending grace, leaving the throne above and coming down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee, our God, that while here upon the scenes of time, he did always those things that pleased thee. And the window of heaven was opened, and thy voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But our God, he never pleased thee more than when he died at the old rugged cross. It was there that he was the just one, dying for we the unjust, so that he could bring us back to thee. Father, we thank thee that today he now sits at thy right hand, our great high priest. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have between us and thee today is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray thy blessing upon thy word today, Father. May it please thee to save souls, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, which is a rather lengthy message, and that's the reason we're only going to hear one hymn on the program today, but it's one that I know is familiar to most of you listening in. It's the old-time favorite, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Take it to
wisdom in it? Are we weak and heavy laden? Are we cumbered with a load of care? Well, the precious Savior is still our refuge. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
Now, friends, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy and would care to follow me in the Scriptures, please turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, here in Mark chapter 5, we read of a most significant incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, everything he did and said was significant, but there are certain things which just seem to stand out above the others. And this incident concerning the sick woman brings before us the strong analogy between her and the unsaved listener tuned our way today. Now, first of all, we notice in verse 25 the woman's condition, her condition. We read that she had an issue of blood 12 years. In other words, she was suffering from abnormal hemorrhaging. And friends, the Bible tells us that anyone who was afflicted with this condition was unclean. Yes, back in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 15 and verse 25, we read that if a woman had this condition, she shall be unclean. Now, sinner friend, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl tuned our way today, that's your condition in the sight of a holy God if you're not saved. If you've never been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, you too are unclean. Yes, regardless of how religious, how moral, how cultured, and how educated you may be, if you're outside of Christ today, you're unclean. Over in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, here's what we read. Ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Again in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that if you're not a child of God, then from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores which have not been closed or bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, sinner friend, I'll agree that that's not a very pretty picture. And I know that some of you religious people listening in today don't like to hear this kind of preaching. But friend, listen. The Word of God is clear. If you've never been saved by sovereign grace, then in God's sight, you're nothing but sin covered with skin. And all your so-called good works and righteous living mean absolutely nothing insofar as your soul salvation is concerned. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 we read, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us. Again in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 God declares, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, friend, if you want to know more about your spiritual condition in God's sight, then you turn over to Romans chapter 3. And beginning there at verse 10, you read of God's 14 indictments against all mankind if they're not saved today. He says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's it, friend. That's what God says about you and anyone else who's never been saved by the grace of God. And he gives the grand summation in verses 22 and 23 when he says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, the second thing I want you to notice about this woman in Mark chapter 5 is the fact that she was concerned. Yes, she was concerned about her condition. In verse 26, we read that she had suffered much at the hands of many physicians, but was nothing bettered. In fact, she grew worse. Sinner friend, this woman was so concerned about her physical condition that she was willing to go anywhere, to see anyone, and to pay everything she had to receive a cure for her condition. She's like a lot of people today who would walk, drive, or fly across the country to visit a healing service, and yet wouldn't go across the street to hear the gospel. Yes, this woman was concerned, all right. She must have been, to spend all that she had. And I hope that there are some of you listening in today who are convicted of your spiritual condition to the extent that you too are concerned about what you should do. Well, friends, please don't visit a lot of spiritual doctors and spend all your money on false claims, false peace, and false profession. No, don't visit Dr. Religion because he can't help you. Don't visit Dr. Good Works because he can't help you either. But, friend, you come to the only one who can possibly meet your need, the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Acts 4 and 12, St. Peter declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So, friend, please don't waste your time, your effort, and your money on spiritual quacks. You do like this woman did in Mark chapter 5. You come to the source of all spiritual healing, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner friend, there's one thing sure. If you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll never turn you away. Over in John 6 and verse 37, he declares, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So that's it, friends. If you're really convicted of your sinful condition in God's sight, you'll want to do something about it. Yes, you'll want to come to the only one who can meet your need, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, here's what he said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now then, looking at verse 27, we read these words. When she had heard of Jesus. Sinner friend, I don't know who you are or where you are listening in out in Radio Land today, but in any case, I want you to hear of Jesus. Now perhaps you're thinking, well, I've heard of Jesus. I've heard how he was born in a stable and how he grew up to be a man and he did a lot of wonderful things. And I've heard how they crucified him on a cross and how he is supposed to have risen from the dead. Well, sinner friend, what you say is true, but there's much more to it than that, because the little babe in Bethlehem's manger was none other than God manifest in the flesh. He was the one who created the universe. He was the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He was the one called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was the one whose presence made the angels, the cherubims, and the seraphims hide their faces in heaven and cry out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Yes, and he was the one who left the glories of heaven and came down to this sin-benighted scene with but one purpose in mind, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinner friend, I marvel afresh today when I think of how the Son of God could become the Son of Man, that we, being sinful sons of men, might through faith in Him become the sons of God. Oh, how I praise God today and thank Him afresh for His unspeakable gift. You know, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read those wonderful words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, we're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And finally, I think again of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5, 8, and 9. Listen to this, sinner friend. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." You notice, we're saved from wrath, we're saved from going down to hell, through Him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our church membership, not our religious rituals or anything else. We're saved from wrath through Him. Listen, sinner friend. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life while here on earth. Yet He died on the cross for sinners. He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that He could bring us back to God. Friend, He who knew no sin was made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to Calvary's cross and there shed His precious blood so that you and I might never know the torments of hell. He was the Lamb of God bearing away our sin in His own body on the tree. And had He not died, and had He not shed His precious blood to atone for our sins, we'd all be doomed and damned to an eternity in the lake of fire. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, and He met the claims of a just and holy God against sin. And furthermore, God showed His approval of that vicarious death by raising His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from amongst the dead. Over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, we read concerning God's Son, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ today is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He is fulfilling the duties of the great High Priest for those of us redeemed by His precious blood. Well, friends, very briefly, that's the gospel story. And you'll never be able to say you haven't heard the truth. No, you'll never be able to say you didn't know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, in Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So now the responsibility rests entirely upon the listener, and either actively or passively, you are making a decision for or against the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Yes, you're just like the woman in our text. She heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because she was convicted of her condition and concerned about her condition, she did something about it. And that leads us to the next point I want to make, and that is the woman's confidence. Her confidence. In verse 28, she said, "If I may touch the hem of His garment." Now that's what I call faith or confidence. She didn't want Him to touch her or even acknowledge her presence. All she wanted was to touch His garment. And she was so sure that that would be sufficient to bring her a needed blessing. Sinner friend, it takes the same kind of faith or confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. It's simply resting your soul's eternal destiny on the virtue and value of the precious blood shed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And remember, friend, destiny is determined by decision. You know, sometimes the devil tries to make people believe that it's difficult to be saved or born again. He tells them they're not anxious enough, or they haven't experienced some vision or dream or revelation. Or he may even tell them that they have to shed tears or pray it through or go to an altar. Sinner friend, listen. Don't pay any attention to the devil. He's out to claim your soul for the lake of fire. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, here's what we read. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Yes, the devil, the enemy of men's souls, is continually trying to confuse the sinner with spiritual non-essentials. He tells them that church membership will save their soul. He tells them that baptism will save their soul. He tells them that doing the best they can by keeping the golden rule and Ten Commandments will save their soul. Yes, sinner friend, the devil will tell you anything and everything but the pure and unadulterated Word of God. Listen, the Bible makes it quite clear that a sinner is saved or born again by faith. F-A-I-T-H, faith, plus nothing. In Ephesians 2 and 8 we read, For by grace are ye saved through faith. Again in Romans 5 and 1 we're told, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Romans 4 and 5 God says, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, not his good works or church membership or religious ritual, but his faith is counted for righteousness. Yes, sinner friend, time and time again, the Bible makes it quite clear that a sinner is saved by faith alone. And look at it logically, my friend. If you and I could get to heaven by doing anything and everything apart from having faith in Jesus Christ, then why did he die? Why did Jesus Christ come from heaven? Why did he live a sinless life here on earth? And why did he die that ignominious death of Calvary's cross? If you and I could reach heaven by good works or religious rituals or anything else, apart from having faith in his precious blood. Now we'll notice that this woman in our text had nothing more than faith to offer in exchange for her healing. But friends, her faith was strong. It was strong enough to touch the heart of God and God's Son. Yes, as soon as she touched the hem of the Lord's garment, she received the divine cure. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she became every whit whole. Now that's how quick the Lord responds to an exercise of simple childlike faith. You know, a lot of people think that they can gradually grow into salvation. They treat salvation as though it were an intellectual challenge which requires a mental assent of stated facts regarding the man called Jesus Christ. Listen, sinner friend. Salvation is of the Lord. And I read over there in John chapter 6 and verse 44 where Jesus Christ himself says, No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. So when the Lord heals a person or saves a soul, he does it instantaneously. It isn't a progressive metamorphosis or development. It is the result of an instantaneous heartfelt trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people today are trying to grow in grace before they've been saved by grace, before they've been born again. Friend, let's not put the cart before the horse. In other words, a sinner cannot be saved until he realizes that he's lost. The woman in our text didn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ until she reached the point of complete hopelessness and desperation. And then in simple faith, she sought to touch the hem of his garment, and that's when she received the blessing. Now you'll notice in Mark chapter 5 and verse 29 that she was completely healed of her plague. And so it is with a sinner who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He immediately becomes a child of God. And it is not a gradual reformation either. A sinner passes from spiritual death unto spiritual life in a moment of time. One moment they're a child of disobedience, a child of the devil, a child of wrath. And the next moment, through faith in Jesus Christ, they're a child of God. They're a joint heir with God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now friends, up until now we've discussed the woman's condition, her concern, her confidence, and her cure. And in closing, I'd like for you to notice her comfort. Her comfort. In verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ told her, Thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. My, what a comfort that was. What a relief. No longer was she unclean, but in God's sight, the sinner, once they trust Christ as their Savior, they are spotlessly clean, just like this woman. We read that she was made completely whole. And sinner friend, You too can know the joy of sin forgiven and life eternal right now. Yes, regardless of how great a sinner you may be, you too can be made as white as snow in God's sight by simply acknowledging in your heart that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner in the sight of a holy God. Admit you can't do anything to save your own soul. Repent of your sin and simply trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, whoever you are and wherever you may be today, just believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in Thy presence again at the close of another radio message, thanking Thee for the privilege we've had of exalting Thy Son as the only Savior of sinners. We claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. May there be some man, woman, boy, or girl listening in today, even now, trusting Jesus Christ with their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.